It's a simple question of weight ratio.
How do I look so young? Quite simple. A complete vegetable diet, 12 hours sleep a night, and lots of makeup.
First, the award for the alumnus who's gained the most weight, Homer Simpson.
Oh, my God!
How'd you do it, Homer?
I discovered a meal between breakfast and brunch.
Why aren't you on a diet?
Because I like to eat. Is that such a crime?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it ain't over until the slightly overweight but still working on it lady sings.
I mean, it's hard to get fat on a vegan diet.
I'm not fat. It's all this fur. It makes me look poofy.
All right, you have fat hair, but when you're ready to talk, I'm here.
What was it we had for dinner tonight?
Well, we had a choice, steak or fish.
Yes, I remember I had lasagna.
Shut up! The camera adds 10 pounds.
So how many cameras are actually on you?
I think that's a fitting way to begin the new year.
That's pretty funny.
Good to see you. Happy New Year. Dr. Barry Dworkin is here taking your health-related questions at 521-TALK, 521-8255, *580 on Bell Mobility, or 1-800-580-CFRA. While we wait for some phone calls to come
sure.
in, and every single phone line available right now, folks, if you call right now, the wait won't be too long. I thought we'd talk a little bit about trends, fads, quackery, scams, what have you. So, gluten-free, no question, 2012, gluten-free just took off and became this enormous fad. What do you think about this? Gluten-free is a multi-billion dollar business right now, even though the vast majority of people have no reason to avoid gluten.
Right. What's happened is it's morphed into a symptom of celiac disease, which you have abdominal cramps, weight loss, maldigestion, poor digestion, gas production, because your body cannot break down gluten. And in fact, you have antibodies that have responded, and so you have almost an immune response to it. And what has happened is that because there are many different intestinal disorders that can give you similar symptoms, the assumption by the general public has been, through the help of marketing of these type of products, to assume that they have a gluten issue.
Right.
Right. Whereas gluten is not toxic. It's not dangerous. It's your body deals with it very well if you don't have celiac disease. It's not part of any diet. Eliminating gluten doesn't help you with weight loss.
You'd never know it.
Well,
You've got whole things about the wheat belly. Lose your wheat belly.
Right.
If you avoid gluten products with which is just about everything, you lose your wheat belly.
No, if you avoid gluten products, what happens is you likely are reducing your caloric intake because you're not eating as many carbs, provided you don't substitute it with something else. But the point is that it is a very straightforward way to diagnose celiac disease through blood tests and biopsies.
Right. But that's rare, though.
It's not common. It isn't a common disease. It's picked up more because we test for it, but it's not the vast majority of people with intestinal issues and digestive problems that have this. But people talk and they pass on information.
Yep.
They will make the assumption that their symptoms are, because my symptoms are similar to, they equate it with what somebody else has, they make the assumption that they have the same problem. Hence, they go ahead and they do these type of...
You listen to this. Dunkin' Donuts launches gluten-free product line. Loblaws launches gluten-free products through President's Choice. Regina Food Reviews. Desserts can be decadent and gluten-free. Bakeries hot for gluten-free goodies. And on and on and on it goes.
They are depending upon everyone to buy these as opposed to people with specific gluten problems, because when you look at their population in Canada, you don't have 10 million people with celiac disease. You don't even have a million people with celiac disease. You may have about 100,000 with celiac disease out of 32 million.
And yet you go to the grocery store now and there are aisles upon aisles of this gluten-free stuff.
Right. I mean,
everywhere.
The estimates are, when I looked up and I think we looked at this information, Rob, together on UpToDate.com, it was between 1 in 300 to 1 in 500 people may have celiac disease.
Right.
Right. So that's not a lot of people when you think of your overall population.
It's a fad.
Right? It is a fad in terms of, it's a fad for the people that don't have celiac.
Let me ask you this. If you're consuming gluten, products with gluten,
right,
are you harming your health?
No.
No,
it's a natural constituent in whatever food you're eating. You're not hurting yourself. Your body is more than able to digest it.
Doesn't that just bind the food together? Yeah, it's a binding agent. Yeah,
and it also
occurs
naturally. And it gives a certain texture to the food as well. I mean, John Panette has, the comedian John Panette has a great comedy thing, and we should ask the guys to do this, on gluten-free bread. He said gluten-free bread is not bread. He said you put the margarine on it, and the margarine rolls right off. You know, it's that kind of thing. So there is a certain texture, and granted, the technology is changing where a lot of gluten-free products are much more palatable. But
another one. Well, let's move along.
Sure.
I'm driving around town, and I see an advertisement. It's one of these roadside signs, and it says, "The key to health in 2013, cleanse."
Right.
So Google, you just Google it, folks. Ottawa Cleanse, and we've talked about this in the past. Mm-hmm. Workshops, cleanse, Elation Center, Ottawa Live Blood Analysis, Colon Hydrotherapy.
Right.
Yogic Spring Cleanse. You know, you want to spring clean your colon, I guess.
Right.
Detox Cleanse, $275 at a well-known spa down here in the Byward Market. Zen for You, Detox Cleansing at Ottawa Zen Detox. Live, learn, raw, cleanse, organic herbs, cleanse Ottawa, and on it goes. All over, if you type in Ottawa Cleanse into Google, you get 500,000 results. Is there any... It seems to me to make so much sense. If you clean your body out of all the bad stuff, you're going to feel better. You'll be full of vim and vigor and vitality. But you've told me repeatedly, it's a scam. There's nothing to it, right?
It is a scam. The assumption is that your colon contains toxins and waste material that is harmful if it stays in the colon. And the assumption also is that your colon is responsible for cleaning or recycling or whatever the claim is to get rid of stuff.
Yeah.
But that ignores how the body works, because the way your body processes and gets rid of material is through your liver and your kidneys. The waste that you see in stool, for example, or in your colon, is primarily dead cells, sloughed off cells from the intestine, because your intestine continually replaces its cells. Food material, bacteria, things that you're basically eating. But there's no toxins in there coming from your body. It's from the intestine into your bloodstream, not from your bloodstream into your intestine. That's not how it works. Your intestine is an absorption mechanism. It's not a detoxifier. And so what happens is you eat whatever you take in, you take medications, take whatever, alcohol, whatever it is, it gets absorbed from your intestine, goes into your bloodstream. Your liver, which is a biochemical powerhouse, a factory, will break down these compounds into much more easily eliminated compounds, and also convert things into what your body needs to function. And as well, your kidneys will filter and excrete out a lot of these compounds.
Naturally.
In fact, cleansing your colon, you disrupt the normal bacterial balance that is required for you to have normal bowel function. And a classic example of that is, for example, when you take an antibiotic, right? In some cases, you destroy the normal bacteria, and you see C. difficile as a consequence, or diarrheal illnesses as a result of that. And so your body has to reclaim and rebuild its bacterial stock, as it were, or flora, we call it, in order to be able to function properly again. Hence the need sometimes for taking a probiotic, which gives your intestine back what it has lost. But to do a cleanse, there is no scientific evidence, regardless of what they claim. There's absolutely no scientific evidence to suggest that you need to do a cleanse of your bowel in order to remain healthy.
Big business, though.
It's a big business.
Oh, boy. And it's another fad.
It appeals to a very rudimentary assessment of how the body functions.
Well, it seems to work. You know what? When I heard, that makes a lot of sense. You know, if you're filled with toxins and whatnot, it only makes sense. I should take this and flush me right out.
Yeah, but you're not flushing anything out. There's no toxins. You know, we talk about toxins and chemicals you know, I'm a big fan of Dr. Joe Schwartz. He's a McGill professor and in charge of the Office for Science and Society at McGill University. And he has another book that's recently come out. And we have this notion of defining a chemical as something that is harmful when we are ingesting and exposed to chemicals all the time. Everything in the world is a chemical. It's a chemical constituent. Some are solid, some are liquid, some are vapor, whatever.
Right.
The point is that it is the amount of exposure that could be potentially harmful. Yep. And hence you get this notion of, well, this is a toxic compound. Well, anything can be toxic if it's too much of something. Yep.
Okay, I got to ask you one more thing.
Sure.
Because I didn't get one of these for Christmas. Even though I don't know if the listeners have seen this. It's an infomercial that airs. And you say, you know, don't, and doctors always say this, don't use Q-tips in your ears to clean your ears.
In the ear
right?
canals,
it can
correct.
Be dangerous, right?
Yeah.
So I see this product advertised on television. Can I play this clip here? Okay. It's a little handheld thing, and it's called the Wax Vac.
It looks like a little gun.
And it's like a little gun, and you stick it in your ear, and it sucks the wax out of your ear. Listen to this,
okay.
Barry.
We all know we shouldn't use cotton swabs to clean or dry our ears. They even warn us, but we do it anyway.
Ah!
Stop. There's a better way. Introducing WaxVac, the safe and effective way to clean and dry your ears. WaxVac will help your whole family feel better and keep their ears healthier. Here's how it works. Unlike cotton swabs, which push dirt and harmful wax further into your ear and can puncture your eardrum, ouch! WaxVac gently draws dirt particles and moisture out of your ear rather than pushing it in. There's nothing else like it. WaxVac is quiet. Listen. Safe. Its unique safety guard prevents it from going too deep,
good.
Like an ear.
You get the idea.
Yeah.
What do you think about the idea of sticking a mini vacuum cleaner into your skull and sucking earwax out? Barry, do you think that would work?
Well, first of all,
it's only $10.
Yeah, it's only
$10.
Throw
in one,
yeah,
one
yeah.
for free.
The issue is that I think they have to understand what the viscosity of wax actually is. Wax in the ear is quite thick, and it's quite viscous. And so you can't vacuum it out. It's just not going to happen. There's no way you
not
can
not going to happen, really?
You can't vacuum it. In fact, I looked at this ad when you showed it to me,
right.
They're vacuuming up dust particles and water as an example. They're not vacuuming up wax. Take a thick oil, which is what wax is, or take candle wax and put it in there and see what happens. It's not going to suck that wax out. So it's just another fad. You don't have to touch your ears. Leave them alone.
Really?
Leave the wax alone. The wax flows out. That's why you get wax on the outside of your ear.
Okay.
Because it's viscous. It's not a solid per se. It does flow. And it's designed to coat the inner aspects of your ear canal to protect it from moisture and dirt and such. The wax being wax will trap it and then brings it out. It's a slow process, but if you leave it alone, you don't stick Q-tips in, you don't disrupt the flow. So
all right.
Leave it alone.
We're off to a dynamite, gluten-free, colon-cleansed, waxed vac start to the Wednesday House Call here on 580 CFRA.
I'm allergic to wheat, and I thought, oh, well. Then I thought, wait a second, you make flour out of wheat. Perhaps I should inquire further. I said, what does this whole wheat thing mean to me, pray tell? She said, well, do you eat a lot of gluten? I don't know what gluten is, but I would say yes. I'm fairly certain I'm mostly gluten. And she said, well, you should avoid anything with gluten in it. I said, okay, thank you, and started to leave the room, and I said, what has gluten in it? You know what has gluten in it? Everything! Every reason to wake up in the morning!
Pretty much sums it up, doesn't it?
That's pretty much sums it up.
You know, we haven't advanced very much from the snake oil salesman. I mean, there's new twists, and you buy the snake oil online now, Barry. That's about it. That's really the only difference in many instances, right?
The technology changes so that you're absolutely right. The underlying thought processes remain the same. It's just how it's dressed up.
Yeah.
And so they add a dash of pseudoscience. They make it sound plausible.
Yeah.
They will immediately attack the person who criticizes them, asking for evidence.
Yes.
They'll resort to the usual tactics that act as a deflector screen for them to actually.
And you've got
to
paint. You've got to paint big pharma.
That's
big
right.
Pharma is like big oil or big tobacco.
Yeah.
If it's big, it's bad. Right?
Yeah, it's what we call a straw man argument, right? You create the boogeyman.
And
then you use that as your means of arguing against it. And, you know, without defending pharma, they have a lot of problems too. And in fact, it's a good segue into just saying that in the next month or so, I should have Dr. Ben Goldacre on my show because he's written a book called Big Pharma or Bad Pharma.
Bad pharma.
Talking about how they hide, how they have hidden studies that would have led to, in some cases, non-approval of medications because they only presented the positive stuff. So they've got to clean up their act too. So some of the criticisms are valid, but you don't throw everything out on the basis of that. You look at what we've been able to do, and a lot of people have been helped as well. But it's just how it's gussied up. It's how it's presented. It's made to sound plausible. And I think part of it also stems from that, and I'm not criticizing people, it's more the education system that does not give general public an understanding of how our bodies work. And if you don't, it's like when you have a car, if you don't know how your car works, you're dependent on your mechanic to tell you, and they could say it's your Horken Forks and your sprocket thing, and you can go, okay, that sounds reasonable to me.
That
works fine.
Next thing you know, you're paying $5,000 for something.
And it's
the
same thing with the human body. You know, you don't have to have medical knowledge per se. And I did an undergraduate degree in physiology, so that was my area, and talking about toxins and breakdown and how all the organs work. That was my area. But you still should have a rudimentary understanding of how the body works and how the organs work so that you can use that in your questioning of people who are presenting you with claims.
Right. Before you fork over $275 for a useless colon cleanse.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, and I think we had a caller who hung up, but they wanted to talk about cleanse before a procedure.
Right.
Which is very different because what you're doing is it's called a bowel prep.
For a colonoscopy.
Right. You're not
example.
Claiming that this is going to make you feel better.
Right.
And somehow going to cleanse you. It is so that you can visualize the colon and be able to see if there's any cancers or polyps or inflammation. That's the point of doing that. But to cleanse the colon, and by that token, you can say, well, if you do that, you should feel fantastic, right? But a lot of people don't after you do that. They don't like that very much at all.
I didn't like it. When I had to do it, I didn't like it. 521-TALK, star 580 on Bell Mobility, 1-800-580-CFRA. Dr. Barry Dworkin is here, first Wednesday house call of 2013. John in Ottawa. John.
Hello.
Hi. Yes, John, go ahead.
Hello. I'm 70-year-old, and I run 5 kilometers a day, 4 times a week.
Fantastic.
But could I still get angina problem, clogged arteries?
Well, I mean, it is possible just on the basis of aging, but you know, the answer to that is what we call multifactorial, meaning that if you are running 5 kilometers a day, 4 days a week, not experiencing any chest pain, being able to do that.
No, I take my heartbeat to 150, which is maximum.
Yeah, and you're able to do this. So in effect, what you are doing is you're giving yourself a stress test every time you go running and you're not having any pain. Everybody to some extent will get buildup of cholesterol in their coronary arteries. The question becomes, to what degree do they clog up? So really, you know, what we do is with the best estimates of trying to determine what someone's risk of heart disease is going to be or the risk of developing clogged arteries, we look at various factors. You look at modifiable and non-modifiable factors. Non-modifiable factors are age, right? We can't change our age other than getting
and
older.
Diabetes.
Well, that is a modifiable factor. So for example, blood pressure is modifiable. Whether you're smoking is modifiable. Cholesterol levels can be modified. Your total cholesterol, your HDL levels, whether you have diabetes. Non-modifiable is family history of heart attack in males 55 years, at age 55 or less, if they've had a heart attack or heart disease in father or brothers or sisters. Same thing for women at age 65. So all of those things are taken together, and there is a risk assessment that can be done that literally spits out a number as a percentage of your risk of developing heart disease over 10 years. And anything under 10% is considered to be low risk. Between 10 and 19% is moderate risk, and over 20% is considered to be high risk. And on the basis of those different risk levels, there are specific treatment plans for that. So for example, someone that's at high risk is automatically started on medications to lower cholesterol. Those that are at low risk, depending on their age, may not necessarily have to be on any medications at all. So in terms of answering your question, those are the things that need to be done in order to give you a good answer about your risk of heart disease over the next 10 years. Because other than doing a specific invasive ultrasound to look at the heart and the coronary arteries, or doing an angiogram, which is completely unnecessary at this point, it's really the best way we have of estimating someone's risk.
Okay. Thank you, doctor.
You're very welcome.
521-TALK, star 580, 1-800-580-CFRA. If you have any health-related questions for Dr. Barry Dworkin, who's here, first Wednesday house call of 2013, and he'll be in on Sunday with the Sunday house call as well. And we have every single phone line available right now. Hypnosis. You think it works? They do it not just for quitting smoking, but for all kinds of things, post-traumatic stress disorder, kinds of stuff.
I think there may be a role for it in certain psychological traumas, but and where you have evidence to show that it does help. With regards to addictions such as cigarettes, there's no evidence that hypnosis is going to help. And the reason is that if it was a treatment to treat addiction, so cigarettes and nicotine, narcotics, it could be heroin, it could be oxycodone, morphine, alcohol, to choose your poison, as it were, you would think that it would work for all of that stuff if you're providing that hypnosis. So you don't see that. It's not a standardized treatment for anything of that sort. And so what I would say is that the evidence is very scant with regards to being able to help someone stop smoking. Now, I'll grant you that some people may go and they may be able to stop smoking, but that doesn't mean that the treatment worked. You're making an assumption that because we did this, therefore the outcome has to be because of that, which is my lovely phrase, post hoc ergo propter hoc.
That's right, yes. This happened, it must have been this.
That's right, yeah. Because of this or therefore
right.
this.
Yeah.
And so the issue is more one of asking the right questions and looking for data to support the claim. So right now, I haven't been able to find much data to show that hypnosis for cigarette smoking cessation is very effective. With regards to other things, post-traumatic stress disorder and such, where it is being done by trained individuals in that area, there probably is some role for it. But as with anything, there is no one tool in a toolbox that is going to fix everything. It usually is a combination of treatments to help for a particular problem.
Okay. James in Nepean, go ahead. You're on with Dr. Dworkin.
Hello, Dworkin, sir, and hello, Rob.
Hi there.
Hi.
I just had a question about when I, generally I've been tested for anything from asthma to, and I can't figure out what it is, and next time I go see my doctor, I want to be able to find a general idea of exactly what I'm looking for. But when I eat, often what happens is there seems to be like a phlegm buildup in the lungs, and then it creates a bit of a choking process. I don't know if it's acid-related or not, but I was wondering if it is acid, what could that be?
Well, the first thing that you'd want to do is first find out if it's all foods that do this or if there's particular foods. So keeping a food diary and writing down when the symptoms happen to see if there's something that tends to cause it more than others, because that can be very helpful. Phlegm buildup in the lungs can be anything, right? So, is this an allergic response? Because you can sometimes get secretions in the lung. If you've already been looked at for asthma and that has not been detected, where they do a pulmonary function test to test and see how well your lungs work when you breathe in and out.
Yeah,
and that's been normal, then there really isn't much more to do that way. So yes, reflux can do that. Phlegm usually builds up in the esophagus, where you get mucusy stuff that can go into the esophagus, sometimes comes up from the lung into the esophagus. Irritation of the esophagus from reflux, that is acid coming up, can do that. So really what you're trying to do, especially if it's localized to a specific area, is you certainly can analyze the lung. You can also look at with a scope and look in the esophagus to see if there's any damage. Because if there's mucus that is coming from that area, that implies likely an inflammatory response. And if there's an inflammatory response, you'll usually see erosions or some damage to the esophagus. But really, it does boil down to keeping track of what makes it worse, what can make it better. Is it worse at night, for example? Do you get heartburn when you wake up at night? Any nausea? Any change in bowel habits? All those questions are going to be asked by the physician in order to make a good assessment about where would be the best course of action. What would be the best course of action to do?
Let me ask you, we've talked a lot about scams and fads and whatnot over the course of this hour, Dr. Dworkin.
Sure.
And when I was preparing for this hour, I looked up a lot, Health Trends 2013, mm-hmm. what have you. It seems to be acknowledged now that one of the major things going forward 2013 and beyond is how the major advancements that have been made in mobile technology, mm-hmm. through tablet computing and smartphones and various applications and whatnot, can improve both the knowledge and readily available information for the physician, but also for the patient.
Sure.
I'm wondering if you have any experiences with technology in your practice and for the patients.
Use it all the time. In fact, on my iPad, I have, and I've discussed this on my show as well, mentioning certain programs that apps that people can download, for example, to know what they need to have done for their age for their checkup, right? Because checkups are not checkups anymore. You don't have to do complete physical exams. They're targeted according to age. And so there's a good program. It's called EPSS. If you do a search for that, EPSS for your iPad, you'll find that it is an evidence-based program that shows you what you need to do. And I use that all the time to show patients to say, look, I'm not sloughing off the physical exam. I'm not sloughing off what needs to be done. This is what works from the evidence we have. Doing more than this will do harm to you.
Okay.
So that's the
kind of the things I've seen, for example, I've seen them advertised, a docking station for diabetics for their for their iPhone.
Yeah.
Where they can do a test.
And you can do monitoring and field analysis. Yeah. There's other things. Other things I use is called the Sanford Guide, which has a very quick access to what's the latest treatment recommendations for infections, bacterial, viral, parasitic. What to use is safe during pregnancy, what isn't safe to use during pregnancy, what's the dosing for children. It's a lot of information. You can't keep that all in your head, but it's readily available and it's updated every month. Now, there's a whole slew. I've 3D guides that show the body to my patients so I can show them this is what this does. Three-dimensional anatomy of the brain that if you click on a specific area, it tells you what the function is, what it does, what diseases affect it. So again, all that stuff helps people
understand.
You're
going to have a tricorder soon.
I'd love to have a tricorder.
Great hour. Great. Thanks for coming in. Exciting times ahead.
Yeah. And talking about this, this subject of quackery, good book by Dr. Ben Goldacre. It's now been out for 2 or 3 years now called Bad Science by Dr. Ben Goldacre. On my website, I've interviewed him about the book. It's an hour-long interview at my website, drbarrydworkin.com, if you want to listen to it. He's an excellent speaker. And the book provides you with the way to approach these problems. It also gives examples of stuff that people have fallen for and why and how things work and how you can protect yourself.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Back on Sunday. Sunday's at 4. The Sunday House Call on CFRA and Health Headlines at 10 to 7 every morning here on CFRA.